Welcome, 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 y'all. Y'all decided to go live today since I am, if you guys aren't familiar with the show, I am on a break from my regular podcast episodes because I am building out my podcast studio. So since I am on a break from that, I came to talk to you guys because, you know, I like to do a lot of research. I like to watch a lot of podcasts, you know, collect a lot of data, and I want to talk to folks about things that I think certain conversations I think we neglect, especially in the Black community. So I wanted to come on today in particular to talk about this particular topic when it comes to relationships with men and their dads. Because a lot of times we are, as women, we are told to watch for certain, you know, things when it comes to men. Like, and one of the biggest things we're told to watch for is, how does a man treat his mother? So I want y'all to chime in. Let me know if you have ever heard that saying, watch how, for women, men, I don't know, maybe men hear it too, but I know for women, we often hear people tell us that's one of the warning signs we need to look for that would tell us whether a man is going to be a good man to a woman, or is he going to be a good man in a relationship. Check out his relationship with his mom. If he doesn't have a good relationship with his mom, he probably not going to treat you good. But if he does have a good relationship with his mom, chances are he will treat you good. But on the flip side of that, we never, ever, ever talk about looking out for signs of his relationship with his dad. And I think, which is, it's crazy because we're often told that, you know, how men, we need the man in the house, which we absolutely do. Like, they are like the linchpin, the cornerstone of the family, right? So if the man is missing, or maybe I've had friends that told me that their dad is around, and but the dad, like, he worked a lot. He maybe didn't really pay a lot of attention to them. Like, he wasn't really available for them. So, or I hear a lot of men talking about how they watch their dad, you know, mistreat their moms or cheat, like all these different like traumatic things that they went through as little kids, they were exposed to. So I was just curious are these two things the same? If a man has a good relationship with his mom and it's thought to or said oftentimes that if he has a good relationship with his mom, then chances are he'll be a good man in a relationship. So is it the same on the opposite end of that? If a man has a good relationship with his dad, does that mean like those are telltale signs that he's going to know how to treat a woman, or you'll understand how, what kind of man he is? Or if that dad was not present like he should have been, or if he was completely absent, does that play some type of role in whether the dad, the man in that house will grow up to not know how to treat women, mistreat women, project that trauma onto women in their relationships? Like, I just want to know how y'all feel about that. Because I think, of course, a lot of times I've met men who treated their moms good, but they didn't treat other women good. Like, I've dated guys that worship the ground their mom walks on. And so you're like, oh, if he treat her like that, I know he's going to treat me like that. But it was a total opposite. And I don't know, like, how to, like, delve into that, figure that out. But that was the only woman they treated right. they didn't treat other women right. So, and then I've seen men who have had really good dads. Well, on the outside, you know, because you don't never know what's going on inside people's houses. But dads that look to be really good dads, and they turn out to be great husbands. But then you got some men who they say they was real close with their dad. They talked to their dad about everything, but they also saw how their dad treated their mom. And they also saw, you know, the dad taking them out with them to cheat on the mom, dad taking them, you know, around people, bad influences, like showing them what I would say would be the wrong ways to be raised, because a lot of times the Black boys are taught from a young age that certain things are acceptable. Certain behaviors are acceptable. Dante, you want to come in? Please come in and talk to me with this, Dante, because I need to know from a man's side how this really, how does this translate? Like in the Dante, for a male, I don't know what Andy won, had the dad, didn't have the dad, but I just want to know how that comes out across the relationship.
So I got a little part of it. I apologize. I was trying to get in the video. So I missed a little part of what you were saying.
So I don't know if you ever heard the saying, like, we hear this all the time. Like, women hear it all the time. If you find a man and he treats his mother well, chances are he's going to treat you well. But we never really hear the conversation about if you find a man and his relationship with his dad ain't good or is good, how does that affect the relationship?
Well, I don't really think it's true if a man treats his mom well that he's actually going to treat his lady well.
I don't either.
I don't believe that. Mm-mm. But I also don't go with the myth as far as saying if the daddy was not in that guy's life to show how to treat a lady, then he's not going to know how to treat a lady.
Right.
Because I don't disagree. I don't agree with that either because I'm a product of that.
Right.
I didn't really grow up with my dad. I mean, I knew my dad. He was in and out of my relationship. So he and my mom got divorced probably when it was like in the fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, he and I, we didn't really have a good relationship. Okay. Just being honest, like sometimes we would go a long time without even talking to each other. My dad didn't even come to neither of my graduations. Wow. Well, I'm sorry, three of my graduations. He didn't come to my high school graduation, he didn't come to my undergrad graduation, and he did not come when I got my master's.
Wow.
You know, so he and my mama didn't have the best relationship. Let's just say that. So, you know, my stepfather, you know, came into life, into my life later on. But as far as having that dad and everybody know that I'm just like my dad, really, with personality and everything. But I always tell people, yeah, I may be like my dad, but I'm really not like my dad. Mm. You know, yeah. I mean,
I know you personally, so I know firsthand. Right. I would have, until you tell me, I don't know that, you know, you didn't have your dad around like that. Cause it's so many people that's always saying, well, you don't know how to do something unless it's demonstrated. And I'm like, well, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes you do things because you weren't shown it. So you want to do something different.
Right.
So it's not always, I have to be taught how to be a wife or I have to be taught how to be a husband.
Right.
I could look at something like, I don't want to be like that.
So correct. Correct. So, I mean, I'm a type of person, I'm observant. I sit back and I watch, you know what I'm saying? And I know I have my own makeup of myself. So I know what I want to be, but I mean, I can understand when people say, hey, you live by what you were taught. You know what I'm saying? What you see is what you're going to be. But that's not always necessarily true, and I feel like I'm a product of that. Like, I kind of made it out. I ain't saying like I was in the struggle or anything like that, but I've been through a lot of hard times that people don't even know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So, but then, like I said, my stepfather was really good to my mom, so that was good by having them in their life, but they wasn't the type of person that was just like loving on each other, you know, kissing, or you see, or you know what I'm saying, just holding hands. Like, they were not that type of couple. So I feel like sometimes, like, do I get that or do I not get that? You know what I'm saying? Like, some of that could be passed on as well, like showing love and affection. I'm not saying I'm not an affectionate person. That's not what I'm saying. But I think I'm better than what I've been shown.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah. Because I had a conversation earlier with a guy about how, like, early on, younger guys are taught so many like bad things, like that it's superficial things that were handed down from dads, uncles, barbershops, whatever, but it's like they deem it as it's okay because you're young, so just do this,
right?
And then it leaves them so behind in the power curve, like y'all wasted a whole decade of your 20s doing this BS, but it keeps getting passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down. And it's like, that is never really talked about when it comes to relationships, because those things are coming from dads or the lack thereof. Like, thinking that men are just supposed to do these wild things that don't provide any type of substance later on in life. So you find yourself in your 30s struggling and scraping, trying to figure it out.
Right, right. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I mean, I've seen it. I've definitely seen it with my eyes. with guys who are just like their damn daddy. But I've seen it, but I can say I'm different. Not all the way, but I'm different with a lot of certain things that probably, you know, could have come from my dad. But I got a lot of traits from my dad.
Right.
But when it comes to that, I took a different path and I handled it different, you know.
Yeah. And I think with you, like, this, I really, really, really wish that Black men would surround themselves with other Black men that push them to be better and not allow them to settle into the same stereotypical stuff. It's like, y'all don't have to be that way.
Correct.
Like, because I've been around you, I've been around your friends, like y'all push each other. Like, y'all grinding, y'all networking, like, you making sure that y'all all good.
And right.
Y'all hold each other accountable. You're not letting y'all not about to be about no bullshit. So
right.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
That needs to be talked about more. Even if there isn't a present dad, there needs to be a like a collective of men that are reaching back to make sure these young guys aren't falling in these same traps.
110%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I really appreciate your perspective, because I was like, I need to hear from men that especially didn't have dads.
Yeah.
And how it affected them in a relationship.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I can't, you know, it actually affected me, you know? I mean, it truly affected me. And the reason why it affected me more is because, I mean, it's so many aspects of it. Like, I love my daddy. You know, God rest his soul, he passed away in 2017, March 15th, in 2017. At the time, he was 59, I was 39, and my oldest daughter was 19. So it was 2020. It, real spill, never talked to you about. Yeah, straight up. So, but one thing I can say, like, even though my dad and I didn't have the best relationship, and I'm being transparent on this podcast tonight, on this, you know, on this platform, is that even though my dad was not in my life, I felt like he knew that he wasn't, but he made it up to my oldest daughter, because my oldest daughter stayed in Greenville, where I did not stay, because I always stayed an hour and a half or more from my oldest daughter, right?
Okay.
So ride with me on this. So what I feel like he did in order to make up the time is that he built a strong relationship. I'm talking about super strong relationship with my daughter. And people thought that actually she was his daughter, because they were together so much. So I felt like him as a man, even though he had the ego to never come out and say, I'm sorry, son. Mm-hmm. I felt it anyway, like, he made it up, most definitely, because I feel like actually him and my daughter are closer than he and I were.
Right. Okay.
Like, they were like this.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So he made it up from that perspective. And, you know, so they had a special bond. And I never would have said anything bad about him or anything with her. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not right. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to pull somebody away. You know, like, that's her papa. And I know that's her papa. She's going to war for her papa. You know what? You ain't gonna talk about her papa. So they had a special unique bond. So that's one thing, like, I could say that out of a lot of things with him, like, that's, I felt like he stepped up to the plate for that.
Yeah.
It wasn't there. That way she could still, you know, see that side, you know, of the family. You know, my mom was in Greenville, my aunts and everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was still around there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, for him to come in her life like that and really, really help nurture her, you know, and teach her things that I was not able to because I was away in school or stayed up on this side. Like, I was never close, you know, down that way. Then she ended up moving to Wilmington. So now she moved 3 hours away. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't get to have that relationship like I wanted to with my daughter. You know, but I'm so thankful and blessed that, you know, God was able to have them to build that relationship, which was awesome. Yeah.
And that was his way of apologizing.
Yeah, it was. And I accepted it, even though we never had the conversation. That was my way of saying, you know what? That's true right there. That's real. You know what I'm saying? Just from
man. That's huge for somebody to do, because like you could be like, I mean, I don't know my son like that.
Right.
What am I talking to your daughter about? But he reached out, like he made sure that he made amends and made sure she knew who he was. So that's pretty damn dope, if you ask me. So,
yeah, yeah, it was. It really was.
Okay. All right. Go big up the Pops. Rest in peace, Pops.
Yeah.
He got it right. It may not have been the way we wanted it to be, but he got it right.
Yep, he got it right.
Yeah, look, I want to know, because I got a little boy here and his dad plays a big role in his life. And I want to make sure that he's completely rounded when it comes to dating. I don't want the superficial, like physical things to override his logic. I know that there are things that are hard to control as a young kid, whether it's a guy or a girl. But I want to make sure that he has a sounding board and his dad where he can talk to him about anything from a male perspective, because of course he ain't gonna tell me everything, I'm his mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to make sure that those things are instilled in him so that it shapes the way he treats women.
Right. Very important. Yeah.
Because I often hear people, a lot of men tell me, I've heard a lot of men talking about how their dad used to take them places where he was cheating on the mom, or he was just doing some outlandish shit in front of them at a young age. And I'm like, that's why you don't respect women. That's why you treat women the way you do, because you watched a lot of stuff you were exposed to way too early. And it's like, you can't even, your brain ain't even formulated enough.
I got a funny story about that. I'll never forget. Like, us were like in third or fourth grade. And, you know, once again, I'm from Greenville, that whole Greenville upstate area. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, my dad and I were and he took me to not this new downtown Greenville that people know about, the old hood downtown. It was, you know, it was definitely not the same. But he had like a yellow Monte Carlo, the long style, long kind. And he had me in his car. I know it had to be 12, 1 o'clock. I don't know if him and my mom was beefing. And she like, nah, you taking him with? But he had me in the club, but not in the club, in the car while he went in the club and did his thing. I promise you. I ain't gonna lie. I was listening to all the old school music. So when I was always with him, that's why I'm a music lover today, though. You see what I'm saying? So I got a lot of good things about that from him. So I'm listening to Prince. I'm listening to all SOS band, all the old school, you know. I mean, just everything. But I got all of that from him, just being in that car with him, like those times.
Yeah.
Those times when I went to Orangeburg with him to go see his daddy, he and his daddy didn't have a relationship.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was always a good time whenever I could link up with him, and then we would go to Orangeburg and see my granddaddy, his pops. You know? So he was.
Lord, you in the car, he in the club. What in the world?
In the club. I was a little boy. Man. I held it down on Green Avenue, Pilden Avenue down in Greenville.
I can see your mom's like, get and take your son with you.
I don't think she ever knew. Oh, yeah, right. Well, I'm seeing them. They weren't saying nothing, you know what I mean?
That is wild. Oh, my God. I guess, you know, daddies and their boys.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad that you are the opposite of what I've seen when it comes to men not having good relationships with their dads. I've witnessed a lot of bad.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times these men just don't want to admit it. They don't want to acknowledge. They project. It's just too much. And they're not willing to even have that conversation, because my dad was there. He took me with him places, but we're not going to talk about the stuff I saw, because that's just what men do.
No, right.
Now it's showing up in different areas of your life, and you can't get past it. You can't elevate.
Right.
You still operating with the same mindset that your dad had, thinking that the way that you're operating is okay. And so, look.
Yeah.
I'm not a man, so I can't. explain. I'm just saying how it affects women when it shows up at our doorstep.
Yes. I believe it. I'm glad I was not able, that didn't translate with me or as of yet. No, I'm just kidding.
Only get your head busted to wipe me.
No. But yeah, I'm just glad certain things I can't even really talk about that I know, you know what I'm saying? I prefer not to really talk about that I know could have possibly, you know, that I'm glad it didn't translate, but you know, I'm happy, I'm good, you know, so I'm in a good space. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the talk with me. Yeah, and hopefully another man to join or a woman could join to tell me their story. Because I want to hear. I think these conversations are healthy. I think we need to have these conversations. I think that we've been running from certain conversations in the Black community specifically about things that can really help us to heal. And we really need to start talking about stuff that make people uncomfortable, you know?
Yep. But as we as Black men, we don't too much talk about it, you know, amongst us a lot. We kind of keep a lot of things in. Yeah. But that's a whole nother topic.
Y'all do. It's like, yo. And I'm glad you just said that, because we talked on my other podcast last night about how a lot of men, because I was really irritated, a lot of men are dragging J. Cole for being vulnerable. And I'm like, well, but I thought y'all men said y'all wanted to be able to be vulnerable without being judged. So I'm confused how all the Black men are the ones doing the judging, but y'all saying that people don't, when Black men talk, nobody listen, they don't care about our feelings. We just move it right along because we know nobody don't care. We tell women stuff and they throw it in our face. And I'm like, well, it seemed to me that when y'all get vulnerable, Black men throw it back in y'all face.
Right. We do. It's hypocritical. We can be hypocritical. Try to act like we're not judged. Like, I don't really know a lot about that situation. I just know there was some going back and forth, or there was some rhymes or something that was written, and he apologized. And now everybody's on him saying he shouldn't apologize. But I can understand both sides. One side, I see the hip hop side, as far as, okay, it's a hip hop beef. Like, we've seen this, you know, all through hip hop, right? You know, where going back and forth, and you don't never see really too many artists, you know, that's gonna apologize after supposedly murdering a person on the track, right? So, because they're gonna get murdered, and then it's gonna be a back and forth, right? So, like, you don't never see the apology. So, from that perspective, from a man perspective, it's like they're probably saying, "Oh man, that's a chump move," right?
But they listen to the apologies. But my issue was like the apology was more for himself.
Correct, and that's the other side I was gonna say about it. Right. So internally, you know, he felt he could have been pushed to do this, you know what I'm saying? Pressure, you know, for whatever it was. And after he did it, he felt like it wasn't right within his spirit. So only way he was going to feel good about himself is to say, yo, I don't even want to go down this road because I feel like it may create an unnecessary, you know, pop up or whatever it may be. And I don't even want to be a part of it. But at the same time, you got Kendrick Lamar now going to have to respond. He probably going to use that use it to even strengthen what he want to say or even talk about him even more now. Like, oh, I smell blood in the water now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he wasn't even really shooting at him, to be honest, but he was shooting at Drake. So for people to even hype him up to respond was whack. I'm like, it wasn't really even his beat. He kind of just caught a stray.
Right.
I don't know. I just found it extremely ridiculous that you want somebody to continue with something that he doesn't believe.
Right.
And this is really literally, we just watched play out in real time how Hollywood and celebrities lose their minds, go crazy, get hot, whatever, because they feel pressure to do something that's not them.
Yep.
He was vulnerable enough to be like, you know what? No, I ain't even on this. I'm trying to elevate. It doesn't sit well with me. I have to atone for this for myself. So I have to say it out loud in front of people because I made this out loud in front of people. So y'all can take it how y'all want to, but I'm not about to destroy my mental for the sake of hip hop.
No. Right. Right.
I definitely understand that.
Definitely.
But we live in a world where people just, they like chaos. They like controversy and they like to be entertained. And like, they don't give a damn what expense is at. They don't care.
Yup. Yup. Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
So from that, I applaud it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I can't, hey, that man got to do what he got to do to feel right with himself. At the end of the day, it's all about him.
It's what makes you feel like, exactly. He's not asleep. He's like, whatever, I can say what y'all want. Yeah, that's why I couldn't be a celebrity, because no, y'all can kiss my ass.
You are a celebrity, Dee Dee.
Whatever. I'm good with Walmart, baby. I'm good.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what's up, though.
All right, Dante. Well, you tell the bros I said what's up.
Tell
my fave I said hi. Ty.
Okay, all right. Will do. I tell everybody, you say hello. And appreciate you having me on here. Hopefully, we got some insight, you know, another male perspective on somebody who kind of made it out of, a situation that wasn't the best. So came out of it pretty good, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Absolutely. Well, you enjoy your night.
Okay.
And tell my girls, I said, hey.
Okay, will do. All right.
Bye. Big Zoo, you're right. It could be marketing. I don't know. I don't think J. Cole wanted that, though. I don't think he wanted to be in the news and stay relevant for that. I think that bothered him a lot, because I think he actually genuinely respects Kendrick Lamar. So, like he said, I guess he felt like he was being pushed and pressured to say whatever. And I think now he's like, I'm not doing this. I'm not falling into this, because that's what they want, this weird social media beef and always hip hop. You're supposed to battle. And everybody don't want to do that. Everybody don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. But I really would love to have a woman or guy come back on. The 50 and Mayweather beef was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. any beef with 50 Cent is ridiculous, because he will not stop. He is relentless. He is going to keep going and keep going and keep going. He don't care how much you get on your nerves. He is going to annihilate you if you piss him off. He's going to annihilate you. It's crazy. But I really want another guy to come on to give me their perspective on how their dad shaped their outlook on relationships. Did he hurt it or did he help it? Or do you find yourself projecting some of the things that he may have exposed you to? Do you feel like his absence played a role in how you treat women? Or do you feel like his presence, but not really being present, plays a role in how you do that? If you want to come on, y'all tap that link in the comments. Let me put it back in here so y'all ain't got to sift through in case y'all can't find it. Big Zoo, would you say yes? But his name stayed popping. Absolutely. Oh, 50 Cent is a marketing genius. Him and Donald Trump neck and neck with marketing. One thing they know how to do is stay in the news. They're going to stay in the news. 50 Cent going to stay on your timeline. Big Zoo said, hard men make soft sons, soft sons make hard men. But how does that translate into a relationship with a woman? Because I've experienced men who are all abrasive, all like they had dads who were really, really, really hard on them, like pushed them past whatever, like everything had to be perfect. They were really nitpicky. They were perfectionists. They forced them and pushed them, pushed and pushed and pushed. And now those men are like super picky. Like they pick apart everything a woman does or a person does. Zoo, I'm glad you said it. Egomaniacs. Like everything has to be their way. They don't really, in my opinion, and I might piss some people off about when I say this. when a man is absent of empathy, compassion, and he is this 100% alpha male with no regard for how women really feel, they just want like to be dominant all the time. I feel like the man, I don't know, people like when I say I feel like, I believe that that man is, God, how can I say it? he's projecting something. I don't want to be mean. He's projecting something. And I don't really think he likes women. And I don't mean he's gay. I mean, he doesn't like women. He likes to sleep with women, but he doesn't like women. Like they, you find a lot of alpha males who want to be around men all the time. And they just like women, just the thought of a woman speaking makes them sick because he wants her to shut the fuck up. You hear this all the time. Just shut the fuck up and listen. I'm like, do you even like us? Or you just like sleeping with us? Because this is getting a little weird, okay? Getting a little weird. I don't know. But yeah, I don't think men... I don't think that having a dad who showed you some really unhealthy ways to treat women translates well at all. Now, you may have the anomalies, like Dante who just came on, who made the choice to do things the other way. But you have men who literally go around justifying the behavior because my daddy did it. That's all I know. Nobody taught me any different. So they justify their behavior because, quote unquote, they weren't taught something different. And I'm like, but you see how it's affecting the relationship that you have. So why wouldn't you choose to do something different? I think it's a cop-out to continuously blame your parents for the lack of something. When, especially now, like it's too much information out here now. Like, come on. We got too much information. We got too much access to information, too much access to just a whole bunch of stuff that you have different perspectives. It's not just you and your parents in the house and no outside influence anymore. So like using these excuses that, that's all I know. No, that's all you choose to accept. That's all you choose to do because anything else makes you uncomfortable and maybe you're undisciplined to do anything else because this is easy. This thing over here is easy. So I don't know, y'all. I would love to hear a woman, if a woman want to come on and talk to me, tell me if they've experienced a guy who did not have a good father figure in their life, and how that affected the relationship with that guy. Because we always talking about how the moms determine how a man gonna treat a woman. If he treat his mom good, oh, chances are he gonna treat you good. Shitting me, I have experienced the total opposite. Some women say they need a man who can handle them. Are they asking for it? First of all, a woman needs to be handled, she needs to go to counseling. Because what are we handling? Are we a zoo animal? What is somebody handling? I don't understand. I don't. And maybe that woman is doing things that she was taught to, like absent of trying to figure things out on her own and still blaming her upbringing and past traumas and past hurts and not healing and cleansing herself from all the other crap that she's been dealing with. So no, I don't believe you missed the conversation I just had with Dante, and we just had this specific conversation about wives raising wives, husbands raising husbands. I don't think that's always true. Well, there's nothing absolute, but Dante, who just was on my platform, he came and explained, you know, he wasn't raised like his dad wasn't a really good dad. Like him and his mom divorced when he was in like fourth grade or something like that. And then his dad just wasn't a good example. There was no good example of a good, healthy marriage or anything like that. And, you know, his dad showed him some pretty bad habits. I think that people either do what they see or they see what somebody's doing and don't want that. So, for instance, if I'm looking at how my mom was, I'm me specifically. Now, I'm not doing that. I got to do this because this ain't going to work. Yeah, she's crazy. Oh, no, you can't do that. But of course, people emulate what they see sometimes, and sometimes they don't. Nikki said, I believe he's emotionally unavailable, was raised by a mother that ran through several men and treated him like shit when he was growing up. Therefore, he doesn't know how to be in a relationship fully with a woman. He's just an idiot, in my opinion. Because he can choose to be different if he put in work. Yeah, and you know, some people just aren't willing. If it requires too much, they just ain't gonna do it. They're gonna always go, but they'll default to what's comfortable if they don't feel like they need to change. So I wonder what example his dad had. Serious question. Well, it was the same. His dad's dad, he actually talked about it. His dad's dad handed down the same type of, you know, behavior. And we had that conversation about how young Black boys in particular, they are raised a certain way to think that superficial, surface level things that are fun are cool to do absent of responsibility for like 10 years of their life. When I mean 10 years, I always use the decade of your 20s as an example. And that's what, like, if you ask a Black man across, if you ask 10 Black men, why do they feel like they are, it takes them a while to reach their financial peak, they'll come up with every excuse in the book. Outside of, I fucked off my 20s. I was doing stuff that probably wasn't going to really make no money. I wanted the fast life. I wanted the things that were exciting. I was trying to do things that only 1% of people can do, i.e. NFL, NBA, rap, sing, entertainment, celebrity. All these things you think and you hope and you dream that you can do this, and then you forget that not everybody can do that, and you, 10 years has passed by. Now you're in your 30s and you have nothing. Now you got to start. So, yes, there have been things and systems set in place to keep Black people behind. But I said people, not just men. Black people behind. And for some odd reason, an overwhelming majority of Black men seem to continue to fall behind that power curve because they keep doing things that feel good instead of doing things that they need to do. So then maybe later on in life, you can enjoy some of that stuff. But we have to get young Black boys out of the mindset of everything has to be fun and entertaining into, okay, I got to be disciplined, have self-control, and make some damn money, some real money. They'll never admit not holding themselves accountable or exercising discipline. No, they won't. They'll always say women don't hold themselves accountable. Anything that somebody can clearly identify within somebody else, it's a mirror. It's something that they don't want to see, but that's a direct mirror. Because if I can identify something that easily, that quickly, and it bothers me a whole lot, it's probably something within me that I haven't healed. I haven't figured it out. Do you think Brock Turner's dad was a rapist? I don't even know who that is. He raised a piece of you know what for us. I don't know who Brock Turner is. Fill me in, Azu. Who's Brock Turner? Absolutely. Yeah, like, and I'm really over the whole male-female conversation and pitting each other against each other because we all have work to do. We all need to heal a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And we need each other to do it. I'm not here to point fingers at anybody. I really want us to get it. I want us to have these hard conversations. I want us to figure out how we can serve each other and elevate together. I don't want men to feel like all the weight is on them when it comes to financial burdens and they have to provide, because that's how they keep having these heart attacks and dying so young, because they don't feel like there's an outlet for them. They don't feel like anybody's going to come and rescue them. They feel like all of the resources are for women and nothing is for men. So men have to always just battle and scratch and try to figure out everything on their own when there are a lot of resources that are only for women and children. That is a fact. So I want, if we could come together as Black men and Black women and figure out how to serve each other in a healthy way and help each other elevate and leave the trauma at the door. Go heal before you fuck with somebody. Go heal and stop bringing your shit in and messing up a whole nother generation of people. Like, we got to look past our hand. We got to look in the future and realize that the things that we do right now will affect us or our children later. Nikki said, I've been over it and I'm sick of the piss in the dating pool. And I don't really think it's piss in the dating pool. I think that social media has made it seem that way. I think that people aren't doing their due diligence when it comes to vetting people properly. I think that we attract some people that we shouldn't be attracting, and we entertain them too long, and we avoid and we don't acknowledge the red flags that come walking right up to us. I think that we have work to do on ourselves before we point the finger at anybody else, because if it's piss in the dating pool, newsflash, we in that motherfucker too. So we got to figure out how to clean the pee out. Because we are part of the P too. So I just feel like if you want a certain thing, you desire a certain thing, you got to vet people. So you got to vet people to the point to where it's like, this is life or death. I can't, and it is, because my spirit cannot afford to entertain you or I will die. Because spiritually you will, because they're going to suck the life out you. They're going to suck the life out you if they don't belong there. And yes, the Black community absolutely needs normalized therapy. Like, it's so much trauma, unhealed trauma, unaddressed trauma in the Black community that people talk about as if it's normal. The things that Black people go through, they talk about them on a daily basis as if it's normal. I actually had a post today that came up, and it kind of rocked me to my core a little bit, because I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't think I've ever read it before. I don't think I've ever had anybody acknowledge this. So I'm going to read it to y'all real quick. It said, women who dated older men as teenagers that now realize they were predators. What's your story? I want to let y'all let that. I'm going to read it again. Zeus said, there's a feeling amongst good guys that they get overlooked for bad guys. They should be thankful. They should be thankful. If a woman overlooked you when you're a good guy, why would you want her? That's what I mean by vetting. Who cares if she overlooks you? She must not be a good person. We need to vet folks. Our life depends on it. It does. But I'm going to read this comment. And this is what I mean by Black people have unhealed and unanswered trauma, unacknowledged trauma that we normalize. We literally normalize this because, oh, remember back in the day and back in the day and back in the shit was wrong then too. It says women who dated older men as teenagers that now realize they were predators. What's your story? The stories in the comments on this is outrageous. It's outrageous. And the fact that people be like, oh, well, old dudes been dating young girls since who knows when they was coming to the school to pick them up and they call. That don't make it right. Like, why ain't nobody stop them? I don't care what that girl said. That's a kid. Oh, she was fast. It's not a girl fast enough in this world for a grown, responsible man to tell her to take her ass home. That's where the lack of discipline comes in, and the stuff that keeps being handed down from generation to generation as if it's okay. It's not okay. It's really disgusting, actually. And it goes the same for women, older women chasing these young teenagers. Same thing. It's predatory behavior. It's grooming. It's unacceptable, and it needs to stop. Stop normalizing it. Because then this is the same type of trauma that gets poured into the next relationship. Because now, you know, you was a young girl, you dealt with an old dude, knowing you didn't want to do it. You did not want to do it, but he had money. I'm in survival mode. I'm going to go get this money. But you know, in your spirit, you don't want to do this. It don't sit well with you. But you're trying to make yourself believe that it's okay because he got money. Yeah, no. It's going to kill you. Literally. It's going to kill you. Y'all, I want to continue to have conversations that will eventually start other conversations in other circles, in other groups with people who are willing to do some work, and share their stories, share their experiences, because we get on social media every day and everybody shows their 30-second highlight reel, their highlight clip. Everything looks perfect. People going through it, y'all. People struggling, they're going through it, they hurt. They don't know, you know, they don't know which way to turn, how to go. They just don't know. So it's really important for us to start having difficult conversations and understanding that that's the only way to fix this stuff. It's just the only way. There you go. It was wrong back in the day. It's wrong now. But you will normalize shit like that before normalized therapy. Come on now. It's ridiculous. It's so backwards. It's so backwards. It's backwards. I don't know. It's so many things that was happening back in the day that people try to use now to normalize their bad behavior. Like, no. First of all, the circumstances were different. The access to information was different. The education level of people was different. So you trying to justify doing some weird bullshit when you're fully aware that it ain't right is real ridiculous. You know it ain't right, but you trying to justify because your granddaddy did it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we're not doing that. And one thing I will do is I want to applaud a lot of the dads out there that have made some really horrible decisions in life, but they are so determined and so intentional about how they're raising their children. Because number one, they're present in their children's lives, and not just I'm here, like literally actively present, doing things with their kids, teaching them things, pushing them to be great, like just being making sure that your kids don't make the same mistakes as you, or trying to help them avoid making the same mistakes that you did. It makes a big difference. I'm a huge advocate for Black dads. I think they are probably one of the most important people on the planet. Some of them, just you got to pray for them because you just got to pray for them. But for the ones that are really out here doing the work and pouring into their kids, that you are making our future better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And for the ones, for you wenches out there. Yeah, I said wench. If y'all out there for no real reason, making it hard for a man to see his kid, take care of his kid, like y'all need to go to hell. And I mean that in the most disrespectful way possible. Like for real. Why? That's not going to make him want you no more. That's not going to change anything. You're hurting your child. They need him. He is exceptionally important. It is impossible. I don't care how you try to slice it, dice it, cut it. It's impossible for you to do it by yourself. And for your child's mental to be complete and whole like it should be without his other half or her other half. Stop making it hard for these men to see their kids. It's ridiculous. And you look crazy. Pray and lay hands on. Yes, child. No, I'm serious. That's the one of the worst things in the world to me is to see a good dad struggling to see his kids. It just bothers me to my core. Hurt people hurt people. I've heard that a lot of times. And I think that could be true. That could be true. It could be true. Hurt people need to stay the hell away from other people. No. But hurt people, that go back to what Nikki said, where Black people need to normalize counseling. Because why are you still hurt? Why are you still hurt? What's the problem? What's going on? Did you vet the person properly? Why did you have a baby with somebody before you realized this ain't going to work? We got too much information, y'all. We got too much information. We got to do better. Fellas, y'all got to be responsible with your seed. It's important. especially the Black Sea. It is super important. I like to say this as often as I can. It is the most sought after seed in the world, not this country, the world. Everybody wants the Black Seed. So you need to protect it and don't just go fertilizing anybody's garden. Everybody don't deserve it. And women, you have to be responsible with your womb and who you allow to plant seeds in your womb. It's important. Legacy matters. It really matters. DNA matters. Mixing the wrong DNA. It's going to be a bad thing. Just telling you. It's a mess. But yeah, hurt people need to seek counseling. Hurt people will come and try to project their hurt onto you and make it seem like it's your fault. Hurt people need to start acknowledging that they're hurt and stop acting like there's only one emotion, because a lot of Black men are super emotional. I don't know if they understand that or not, but they are emotional. Anger is an emotion. It's an emotion. Just saying. I know y'all like to say women need to control their emotions. So do men. Women are wired to be emotional for a reason. That's why we put up with a lot of y'all shit, because we were wired that way. But yeah, these hurt people gotta get it together, because other people don't deserve it. But if you run into a hurt person and you don't know that they're hurt, you know why you don't know that they hurt? Because you didn't vet them properly. Always revert back to step one. Vet. Vet the people. I don't care how cute they are. I don't care how fine they are. I don't care how big her ass is. I don't care how chiseled his chest is. I don't care how much money he got. Vet them. Everything that glitter ain't gold, and everything that look good ain't good for you. Vet the people. Vet the people. Many of these babies are being conceived by 16, 17 years old and don't vet because they don't know how. Well, I will say that statistic has dropped drastically. This generation ain't about that having a baby life early. I think we've kind of leveled that out. Yes, you're going to have your strays. But the statistics are telling us that teenage pregnancies have dropped drastically because these girls just don't want to have no damn baby. They don't even like talking to each other. It's weird. This generation is a little weird. They're a little weird in a good way, because a lot of them are adamant about not procreating early, because they trying to turn up. They ain't trying to have no babies. They trying to turn up. But yeah, if you look at like back in the day, or back in my day, whatever that is, back in my mom's days, grandma's days, my days, like the teenage pregnancy rate was out of this world. Like, you go to the neighborhood, every other girl got a baby. Now, my niece just graduated, I think, 2 years ago. Man, I don't know. It might, out of her friend group, her class, it might be one or two girls that had a baby. Maybe. They like, they different. They are different. They like, baby, who having a baby? No. Right, Nikki. Vet the people. And stop falling in love. Child, bye. Take your time. You might not like them. You might not really like you. Just take your time. Get to know people. Have conversations. Go out on real dates. We keep having this debate about dates. Where you going to take me? I ain't going here. Half y'all don't even get asked out on a date. What are you talking about? But go on a real date. Have face-to-face conversations with people. Get to know them. Feel their energy in the room. Because sometimes you can feel that it ain't right. Don't ignore that. Don't ignore it. Do not ignore it. Nikki said, put that love shit in the trash. Love don't really accomplish much of anything. It gets your feelings hurt and you're looking crazy. Use your brain. They're hard to follow. Don't follow, don't leave with your heart. Because you're going to leave looking crazy, crazy, crazy. Oh, Big Zoo, you hit it on the head. Mentorship, mentorship, mentorship. Or in the words of my friend, Professor Carlton Jones, they hate using the word mentorship, and I ain't going to get into why and the definition of it, but they call them Jegna, J-E-G-N-A, Jegnas in the African community. They're called Jegnas. And we need them so bad, man. Like, that was one thing in the military that they really harped on, having a mentor. You need, and now I get it. Now I get it, because there are certain blind spots that we have that we don't know we have. And you need that wise counsel to come and be like, yo, come here. Let me pull your coattail for a minute. That ain't a good move. Let's redirect. Let's go this way. Let's fix this. We got some tools for you here. We got you. That mentorship is missing. And especially like in the Black community, for the little boys and little girls who don't have dads or a mom or somebody that might be on drugs or something like that, like not having somebody that you can go to see a different perspective of something is terrible. Yeah. Nikki said, this is business. Relationships are partnerships. Yes, they are. Love has nothing to do with it. You can learn to love them later. Listen, people ask me all the time, why you don't want to get married again? Why would I do that? What? Is there a benefit here somewhere that I'm missing? Because I don't know. Now, I'm not saying that people shouldn't get married. I'm saying I ain't going to get married yet. But, you know, if it's in your cards, I say, you know, especially if you like talking, if you're young and you're talking about having kids and building a family. Yes. Grow together, build together. That is, I'm all for that. It's too late for me. I did that when I was young. I ain't like it. I'm gonna stay over here where it's peaceful, okay? It's peaceful. I don't got time. I believe, like Nikki said, that it's a business. I believe marriage is just merging businesses. I don't see a business that I want to merge with. I'm cool. We can be in a committed relationship, get us a good old power of attorney, a will. We Gucci. Marriage license? No. Which is, that's why I ain't down the aisle yet. Nikki! Oh my God! Nikki, you are a whole fiance. Cut it out. I am hollering. Oh my God. Now, I love. But yeah, prenup. See, I ain't doing no prenup because I ain't getting married. Because you ain't taking half of nothing of mine. Nope. But I do love. I love companionship. I love partnerships. I love, you know, just having good energy and good people around. But every day, I'll pass. I got stuff to do. I don't have time. Like, I got stuff to do. I'm busy. And, you know, what's funny is that people always say, oh my God, you're going to die alone. Do y'all know how asinine that sounds? As if somebody doesn't have a husband. So that means every single person they ever met, their family, nobody's going to be around when they die. So you're just going to be by yourself. He said, I'm not getting married without one. No, man. I know that's right, child. But yeah, the notion that because I don't have a spouse, I'm going to die alone is ridiculous. Kevin Samuels got y'all fucked up. I have children. I have grandbaby. I have a lot of great Air Force sisters. I got family. Like, I'm quite sure I won't be alone. I won't be alone. I guarantee that. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird. I don't know. But y'all, I really, really enjoy coming on here to talk to y'all live. It's fun. I like just having open dialogue and getting to the meat of stuff, getting down and getting below the surface of stuff. I should be back on my regular platform with my guests, hopefully in a week or two. The podcast studio is being built out right now, so we're going to transition everything next week into it, get everything set up so that we can start filming again. Nikki, you better cut it out, Nikki. You are engaged. But I'm excited for season two of the Core Queen podcast. I think I'm gonna say this now because this is something that I want to really, really do, because I keep seeing posts from women who are single but don't want to be. And I keep asking, okay, so what are you doing to not be single? So I would love if you guys would want to come on my show. We can talk about the details, logistics, and all that stuff. I would love to get some women on my show who are single but don't want to be single. I'm going to do a singles hot seat on my show as often as I can, if I get guests to come in and want to do it. And we're going to talk and really get below the surface of why you're single. Try to figure that part out. And then I have a huge platform and you're going to be in front of all the men's. Okay. All the men's, you're going to give them your contact, let them know how to get in contact with you. This will be the best dating site you've been on. Okay. But we want to get down to the bottom of why you might be single, and maybe some blind spots that you're missing that may be a reason why you're single. So I'm going to put some more information once I get out of Facebook jail. Ain't that some shit? I don't even know why I'm in Facebook jail, but whatever. I can't post anything right now for the next 6 days. So when I'm able to post again, I will put the word out. I want to get some single women on my show to get in the single dating hot seat. I guess I'm gonna call it something like that. Y'all come in, I got a list of questions. Everybody gonna get the same questions. And I just want you, we're gonna have a good dialogue. You know my show is called, it's No Sugarcoating. That's my hashtag, No Sugarcoating. So we're not sugarcoating. I want you to get what you want. So if we can have a good, deep conversation about why you're single without blaming anybody else, get you in front of my platform, let all them fine men see you, then maybe, you know, we can make some love connections. So we're going to start delving into stuff like that, relationship stuff, trauma, upbringing, things like that. Nikki Brown. Oh, my God. So I want to be single. They just don't know the freedom they have right now. Girl, you are crazy. Yeah, I'm loving, I like it over here. I don't know. I don't know if I could do, it's too much. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I don't want to do that. I'm cool. Like, no. But yeah, well, you know, a lot of them are young girls too, which, so it kind of breaks my heart because it's like, dang. And I kind of know what they need to do, but you know, I need to have the face-to-face conversations with them, so that we can like really get to the bottom of it and they can understand how men are seeing them. Because I talk to men and I understand what they want, what they like, and what they see, what repels them, things that you say that might repel them. So I want to get into it. So if you know anybody that's single that wants to come on my show, get in my hot seat, we're going to have a good old conversation. We're going to have fun. We're going to kiki. We're going to laugh. We're going to get real and get some accountability, get some healing, and get some results. So yeah, that's what he says. Too much work and you get sick of them in your space. Yeah, because no. Don't come over here. I'll see you later. You come visit. You cannot stay. Why are you here? Y'all, it was fun. Y'all know I am the Core Queen, and I help individuals lose weight and get in amazing shape without starving themselves or spending hours a day in the gym. So if you know anybody that's looking for a fitness coach, who needs a nutritionist, who needs a meal plan, workout plans, I do all of that. I customize them all. I have payment plans for my program. If you have financial issues, I work with you. But if you need a trainer, I'm your girl. And I will be honored to be your trainer to help you get to that transformation and that size and that healthy level of weight that you would like to be at. Please, y'all, share this with people because I can't share nothing on Facebook. I'm in Facebook jail. some bullshit. Share this with your people. Share it on your post. Share it on your story. Share, share, share. Go on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, leave a comment under this video. Like the video. Watch the video on YouTube. I need y'all to watch stuff on YouTube for me because YouTube is very, very hard for me to get monetized on. So I need people to keep watching, watching, watching so I can get my channel monetized. That way I can fly in more guests. I can get more guests on the show. If I can make more money, I can get more content and give y'all just a bigger, a better platform and better information, better people to come and talk, experts and stuff like that. So y'all go on YouTube for me, please. Subscribe to the channel. Like this video, comment under this video, watch this video again. Even if you got to put it on mute, just let it ride. Just let that thing ride. Find some videos on my channel, play it, put it on mute. I don't care. Just watch it. Comment, like it, all that stuff. Tell people about the Core Queen podcast. Have them subscribe to my YouTube channel. If you know anybody that would like to come on my show, it is a live show normally. So they have to come to me and come in my studio and actually come on the show. If you know anybody that has something to talk about, not just no regular people that just want to come on and talk. We need to have something to talk about. If you know people that want to come on, you know any single people that want to come on, I'm trying to play a matchmaker, get y'all some booze and stuff out here so y'all can stop having city girl, hot girl summers. Y'all, it's time for y'all to relax, cool that thing down, and get y'all a man, okay? But I appreciate y'all coming, spending some time with me, commenting, engaging in this great conversation. Dante, shout out to you for coming and giving a male perspective about how your dad raised you and how you turned out to be an amazing husband and dad. Y'all, please be safe. Do something good for somebody out there other than yourself, but always, always put yourself first, okay? Don't empty your cup for somebody else because you need your cup for yourself. Y'all be good, and I'll catch y'all next week. Bye, y'all.